Mrs. Lincoln.
Madam President, if you please. Oh, don't convene another subcommittee to investigate me, sir. I'm teasing. Smile, Senator Wade.
I believe I am smiling, Mrs. Lincoln.
As long as your household accounts are in order, madam, we'll have no need to investigate them.
You have always taken such a lively, even prosecutorial interest in my household accounts.
Your household accounts have always been so interesting.
Yes, thank you. It's true. The miracles I have wrought. I have fertilizer bills and cutlery invoices, but I had to.
The first American, frontiersman, and backwoods attorney, teller of bawdy tales and spellbinding orator, a champion of liberty, some called a would-be tyrant, savior of the Union, and the great emancipator. All these are Abraham Lincoln, in his time, America's most admired and reviled leader, and still our nation's most enigmatic and captivating hero. Time to compliment the new motion picture, Lincoln, the President for the Ages, introduces a new Lincoln grappling with some of history's greatest challenges. Would Lincoln have dropped the bomb on Hiroshima? How would he conduct the war on terror? Would he favor women's suffrage or gay rights? Would today's Lincoln be a star on Facebook and Twitter? Would he embrace the religious right or denounce it? The answers come from an all-star array of historians and scholars, including Gene Baker, Dan Farber, Andrew Ferguson, Henry Louis Gates Jr., Frank Williams, and Douglas Wilson, as well as Harold Holzer, who will join us on the program later. Lincoln also features actor-activist Gloria Rubin describing how she played Elizabeth Keckley, the former slave-turned-confidant of First Lady Mary Todd Lincoln, and a selection of speeches and letters that explore little-known sides of Lincoln, the faces of Lincoln, exploring his complex contemporary legacy. Carl Weber is a writer and editor based in New York. He has edited the previous best-selling participant media guides for Food, Inc. and Waiting for Superman, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Joe. Nice to be here.
How did this all come about? Because basically it seems to me that you wanted people to see the film and then assume they have lots of questions in their mind, and this will help explore some of them.
Well, I think that's right. I'm sure many of the folks who see the movie, which, by the way, is a wonderful masterpiece and, you know, highly worth viewing, but I'm sure many of those who see the movie will be interested in Lincoln, will know something about Lincoln from their school days, maybe even have read one of the best-selling biographies about him. But there'll probably be others who know very little about him. Just last week I was at the post office actually mailing off a copy of this book to a friend of mine, and the lady behind the counter said, what are you mailing out? And I said, oh, it's a book I worked on about Lincoln. And she said, Lincoln, who was he exactly? I told her a little bit about the film and about Lincoln's place in American history, and when I came in a couple of days later, she had picked up a little book by George McGovern, of all people, about the life of Abraham Lincoln. She said, you know, the man you were telling me about sounded so interesting. I think I'm going to learn more about him. So there's plenty of Americans out there who I think will be fascinated by the man they meet in the movie, and we hope the book will feed some of that curiosity.
As editor of this guide, you really wanted the authors to explore different facets and in many cases put him in a modern world.
Yes, exactly. It's one of the cliches of Lincoln scholarship that more has been written about Lincoln than about any other American, and maybe more than about any figure in history except Jesus Christ. So we really wanted to come up with a fresh take on this much-studied great American. So we did invite about a dozen historians to speculate about what Lincoln might have done in facing problems very different from those of his own time, which gave them the opportunity both to delve deeply into this or that aspect of Lincoln's thinking, his personality, his values, but also to explore his relevance to other challenges that Americans have faced up to and including the present day. So I think this gimmick, if you want to call it that, really created an opportunity for them to explore some fresh sides of Lincoln's legacy and probably will start as many debates as they settle.
Right, and which leads to the question of how much do you think we know and how much do you think we're just speculating?
Well, a lot is known about Lincoln's life. He was, of course, such a major figure in his own time that almost everyone who knew him left behind some reminiscences or memories of their encounters with Lincoln. Lincoln himself was a voluminous writer. His collected works run, I believe, eight volumes and tell us a great deal about his mind and his values and his thinking. But the speculation inevitably comes in when you're dealing with phenomena that Lincoln couldn't possibly have anticipated. I would love to have spent this past election Tuesday with a rejuvenated President Lincoln and see his reaction to the reelection of Barack Obama, the kind of thing that he, I'm sure, couldn't have conceived of in his own day. And it would be fascinating to know what his reaction would have been. But any answers we might give to that question, of course, are speculative, as any counterfactual always has to be speculative.
With what we know, though, especially when it comes to what is at the forefront of the film, which is about slavery and ultimately the beginning of civil rights, of asking a question like, would he favor women's suffrage or gay rights? And I guess you can come to that with some information of how he felt about equality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that seeing the trajectory that he followed in his own life on African Americans and their quest for equality probably suggests how he would have dealt over time with women's rights and with gay rights. And of course, even the notion of homosexuality is a kind of a 20th century construct. So even the idea of pigeonholing a group of people as having a unique sexual orientation is something Lincoln would have had to become accustomed to. But Lincoln, over time, although he always felt slavery was abhorrent, it took a long time for him to gradually accept African Americans as potentially equivalent in education and intellectual and moral achievement to white Americans. And you can see, if you trace his readings, and Henry Louis Gates in his chapter in our book does a good job of this, you can see how Lincoln's thinking about black Americans evolved actually in the middle of the Civil War through things like seeing the heroism with which black soldiers fought for the Union and getting to know people like Frederick Douglass, whom Lincoln came to deeply admire and respect and actually turned to for advice on more than one occasion. So by the end of the war, Lincoln was actually ready to propose something that no white politician or virtually no white politician had ever dared to consider before, which was enfranchising blacks, or at least a large portion of blacks. And history tells us that the last speech he gave just a few days before his assassination was one in which he broached this notion of giving the vote to black Americans. And one of the people in the crowd who heard that speech was none other than John Wilkes Booth. And this may have pushed him over the edge to actually commit the crime.
Mm. There are several points in the film where Lincoln is shown as an absorbed listener, of going into various situations and wanting to hear from people about what they thought, and even for them to speculate a bit. And I got the sense that in the book it was always an idea that if he had the time that he would think about many of these issues.
Well, when you think about the challenges that Lincoln faced as president, we think of our country today as being deeply divided and deeply fractured, and it is, of course. But in Lincoln's day, Americans not only had political disagreements, they were ready to go to war and murder one another over them. And Lincoln was charged with the nearly impossible task of trying to keep that country together. So even if he hadn't already had the gift of being a good listener, he sure would have needed to develop it, because he had to learn how to work with Democrats and Republicans, staunch abolitionists and those who defended slavery, those for whom saving the Union was the highest priority, and others who would have been happy to destroy the Union if that could have meant they would get their way on slavery. He had to learn how to deal with blacks and whites, Northerners and Southerners. It was an incredibly challenging task at a time when these groups were were all prepared to walk away from one another and not listen to one another. Often Lincoln was the only person who was able to bridge those differences. So I think that gift of listening was probably one of the greatest gifts that made him such an effective politician, one who ended up stunning even the people in his own cabinet with the depth of his political talent that none of them really suspected.
As I mentioned, Harold Holzer, the great Lincoln scholar, will be joining us later in the program. He offers an essay, the concluding essay in the book. And one of the things that he brings up, of one of the questions that he's asked so often, is how would Lincoln fare in today's political climate? And it's a fascinating exploration.
I love what Harold wrote about that particular topic of Lincoln, the what's the phrase he used?
Celebrity, I believe.
Lincoln, the unlikely celebrity. And one of the privileges of working on this book was getting to work with brilliant men like Harold Holzer, who've devoted their lives to studying Lincoln. And Holzer's point is that Lincoln was not an obvious a candidate to be a successful politician. He was widely recognized as one of the ugliest men in America in his time. He had a funny, high-pitched, cackling voice, was awkward, not very well educated, came from a backwoods part of the country. In short, he was not a very impressive figure, and yet he knew how to appeal to public opinion in any number of ways, including tricks of reaching out to touch people that would still be very effective today. We complain about soundbite culture and about politicians who resort to sloganeering. Well, Lincoln was not above using well-planned slogans in his own behalf, so that expressions like the rail splitter candidate or the log cabin candidate or Honest Abe, all of these actually originated as campaign slogans. So I think if Lincoln had to have a Twitter account and figure out how to come up with 10-second sound bites for the evening news in today's political climate, I think he'd probably be very good at it.
Carl Weber is the editor and contributor to the new book, Lincoln, A President for the Ages. It is a participant media guide. Carl Weber, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's been fun, Joe. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Lincoln, A President for the Ages. It is a participant media guide. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.